What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Progressive Gentleman Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Dan.
I'm Matt.
And we want to thank you for taking the time to nerd out about music with us. As always, this episode's brought to you by Eargasm Earplugs. Take the step to protect your hearing today. Go to eargasm.com. Use code GENTLEMAN10 at checkout for a discount. We're back with our band interview segments. This one's fun for me. It's a band I've been listening to since 2017. Divinex is with us on the podcast. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going wonderful. Thank you guys so much for doing this. This is, like I said, a good one for me. Your 2017 record, Create Effect Repeat, is huge for me. So really excited to talk about that at some point. But let's start off with maybe just introduce yourselves. Give us a little origin story. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, killer. So I'm Jay. I'm lead guitar. Our music kind of jumps back and forth between rhythm and leads. So James and I both kind of play rhythm and leads, but I think I play more of the leads. I don't know if you want to go, James. Yeah.
And yeah, my name's Jimmy, or James, or whatever nickname you want to give me. I primarily play guitar and divinex.
Fantastic. You guys want to give us a little background? You know, how did you guys start out?
We go way back.
Yeah, we do. Geez, the origin story, I don't even know. I mean, James and I played with each other in a million other bands in high school. We like kind of like formed a band and we're going to do it like this. It's going to be different this time. And then like, you know, that was short lived, or somebody got pissed off at somebody, whatever. And then we'd like, oh, we're going to do it like this now. And we just had like all these sorts of iterations of different bands. But then like eventually I put together sort of a bunch of music that later became our first EP that I'm like, I kind of want to get like some guys together to do this again. And I guess that was sort of the jumping off point that for a project that stuck, I guess, when we started to lean into the whole like instrumental thing and go from there. So
did you have any like what was the craziest genre that you were in a band playing? Like I think we've heard from like other bands like, oh, we were in like a Pantera cover band and now we make progressive metal. Like, just curious, did you do anything crazy like that, or was it just always sort of you had this vision and it just like, you know, it eventually came to fruition in Divinex?
I mean, the vision definitely changed, but you were in Panda Panda too, right, James?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
An amazing.
I mean,
that's where my head went to.
Yeah. Yeah. The craziest was definitely, it wasn't a genre, but it was just like, you know, cause we're like, oh, we're going to get together and do this and try to make this thing happen or whatever. But then, you know, there sometimes that gets complicated and like people get really serious about it. So at one point we're like, why don't we just get together and we'll just play for the sake of playing. And we all took turns, like just picking a song that we wanted to play just for fun. So we had like a wide range of songs and they're like, I think, like we had like kind of a friend who was listening to more like lighter stuff. It was like the 2000s era. So he picked like a We the King song or an All Time Low song. And James picked Entombment of a Machine by Job for a Cowboy.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's quite the spectrum.
Yeah, I picked a Chiodo song. We had Protest the Hero. And like we played gigs where people were like, what the, you know, F is even this band?
That's quite the roller coaster.
Either that or, you know, Jay, you know, you and I have been playing literally, what, like 2005? And I think the very first project we were in, Sideways Sofa, it was like this weird, like we were all just picking up instruments and we were all in music class and we would play these like weird psychedelic jazzy type things, just trying to be just weird. I would say either Panda Panda or that first project we were together.
The weird stuff's always cool. It's interesting to sort of see a lot of that stuff bleed its way into. You should think about that. Bring some of that weird psychedelic jazzy stuff into Divinex.
Yeah.
I know, right?
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was a fun time too, because that was like the first band where we got some like-minded people that wanted to make originals, but we were like pretty new to making originals. So part of the reason it got so out there was because we're just like, well, how are we going to make a song interesting? We play the same four chords over and over again for like 10 minutes, you know?
Hey, so that works for a lot of people.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it was a fun time. It was called Sideways Sofa because we practiced in our buddy's basement and it was like, there wasn't enough room. So we turned the sofa sideways to make room for us to jam down there. Like, oh my God, it should be called Sideways Sofa.
That's awesome.
That's a really sweet name.
I love hearing the origin stories behind names, like where it just seems nonsensical of like what made you think of that, and
right,
like, oh, there it is, there's the origin.
I guess that's a fair question. So where'd you come up with Divinex?
Well, I think, I mean, it's a good transition, I guess, with coming from all those other bands where we tried to do something serious and then, we got tired of it or whatever. Like we picked a super serious name and then it sounded like cliche after a while. It seemed like a good idea to pick a name that was more general, where it's just like a cool word where it, like when somebody says that word, it just means your band. And I feel like that was, it has more staying power. That doesn't get old as much as, something like, I don't know, fight your demons or something. That's like,
Right.
it's like sounds really profound, but after you hear it for the 100th time, you're like, okay.
Man, that
So,
band Fight Your Demons is gonna be real upset.
yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know if that's a real band.
Well,
If somebody's listening and goes, I love that band, I wasn't me mentioning them. It just, like I was trying to think of something that sounded dark and serious.
if they exist, we'll be sure to tag them to start the Divinex Fight Your Demons beef.
All press is good press, right?
Right.
So what were kind of like your inspirations, like favorite bands, whatever, maybe that sort of led you in the direction that you guys are kind of in right now with the band?
Well, I feel like I end up taking the lead on writing a lot, and I kind of have some ideas, but I'd be curious what your thoughts are, James, on like what kind of bands that you think kind of were at the core of our like when we started, what
I
kind of stuff.
think, yeah, I would probably go to like what we were listening to at the time, which was obviously Jay and I have a huge love stemming all the way back to high school for Protest the Hero. It's like our childhood in a nutshell is that band that naturally led to bands like Between the Buried and Me. And at the time, I think where we were progressing musically, we just got obsessed with that kind of sound and how it challenged us musically, but still gave us all the rewards of just like fun rock and roll.
Yeah,
So
because
I would
we were
probably
like,
say some of those bands.
for sure. And Protest the Hero was such a great example too, because like, I think like around that time when you were high school and getting stoked on the music thing, we were like nerding out. It's like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to feel like to play in 7/4, and like we're so cool because no one else can do that kind of like there's part of that like fun, I don't know, like exploration of like the weird meters and stuff. And around that time, like there was like, your punk rock bands getting popular because they're different, or like the emo thing was happening because they're like different and edgy. But then like Protest the Hero pops up, and to me, like when I heard that, I'm like, oh my God, they're different and edgy because they're super music nerdy like me. So and I think like it was a similar situation with James, like, bands like that were like super cool because they were just trying something that's like all over the place. And that first record, Kazaya, is like it's so crazy and ADD rhythmically, and it's so good. But yeah, I think I would have mentioned, that one in BT BAM especially too. Just because like one of the most inspiring things that I've like heard in music is just like a really good album that feels like you know, when I heard like I think when they came out with Colors, like there was like some quote that said like, this is 1 hour, like 1 hour and 8 minutes of pure musicianship or something like that. And when I heard that and I was like ready for it to come out, like I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to hear this thing front to back. And I played it front to back, and like it was just like so, it was such a wild ride that ended in a satisfying way, that has like a crazy badass finale song that's White Walls, one of my favorite songs ever. So like that's something that I've always tried to like bring into our music, is that sort of like climactic sort of feeling of having a long, really long experience that like ends in like some really crazy epic place. So I hope that comes through, and that's also part of the reason we end up having like 10-minute plus finale songs, because I feel like I want to, give the ending of an album like, or give them give the album a proper ending essentially, which
That, and
we
I remember where we were too is as we would get together in these different projects we were starting, one of these like recurring things was just wanting to get together and like non-stop play, just like plug in our instruments and go. And so when we were listening to a lot of the, like popular emo bands, like Jay said, and then we found bands like Protest the Hero and Between the Buried and Me that were playing longer songs, we started to realize that that was something, we could do. And then it just, this idea Jay got that was just like, I, want to get together with my friends and play for like more than a half an hour without stopping. And so that's kind of where our first record Movement kind of came to be, where all of the songs overlap and kind of create one continuous song.
Yeah. And that's like one of my favorite things sort of in the genre, if you want to, put your guys in like in a box, progressive metal, if that's what you want to go with. The genre of progressive metal and having those sort of, front to back everything flows together. It sounds like one long experience. While you could still separate it up into bite-sized experiences, if you play it from front to back, you just, it takes you on a journey. I do see that in your music, and you know, that's very reminiscent of Between the Buried and Me, or Protest the Hero, mm-hmm. and pretty much anybody, or not anybody, but a lot of bands in that genre. Haken does that. You know, if you want to go sort of in the instrumental, you know, camp, I guess, Intervals does that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Love them.
And I feel like I get a little bit of like Intervals in your music as well. Which was something that I was going to bring up as well. I mean, Between the Buried and Me makes a lot of sense. Protest the Hero makes a lot of sense, but, do you guys have any other like instrumental sort of inspirations, or just bands that you listen to that play instrumental that you get any type of you know, inspiration from?
Yeah, I mean, I think like doing this for a while, like you end up drawn to instrumental stuff. So we've heard a lot of crazy out there stuff that I probably would have never heard have we not like, you know, committed fully to the instrumental progressive metal bit. I mean, I don't know, like just, for me, like some people that come to mind, like I found like the Pleanies and like the, you know, Jacob Zytecki is doing some, if I'm even saying the name right, is doing some really cool stuff like in the lighter side. I'm a big David Maximichek fan. Just cause I love the fact that like it has no rules and it'll just like, you know, I started this as a prog metal song and then at the end it's going to be an opera or like a, I don't know, like it's just, I feel like he just does whatever he wants. And I think that's so cool. And you have no idea what you're getting into when you start a song with him. And yeah. I do miss, I'm a bigger fan of his older stuff when it did sort of sound a little bit more like a prog metal or prog rock band, like Bilo 1 and 2. But yeah, like that's, he comes to mind, but there's, you know, a million of them, you know.
What'd you think of Bilo 4? Was it 4 was the most recent one? The one that came out last year?
I can't remember. I think I was like stoked to listen to it on a plane, but when I started listening to it, I realized it didn't download fully, so I only got like the first 3 songs, and I think I haven't circled back to it, but
I had it in my top 10 last year. It's a good record. I definitely recommend checking that out to listeners and to you guys, obviously. Yeah. And then Who Bit the Moon back in 2017 was also sort of in the same. I actually had your record higher than that in 2017. Wow. It's a good record as well. So yeah, that's a cool name drop. I love David. So we kind of sort of talked a little bit about this, you know, getting together, jamming for, you know, extended periods of time. What's your writing process like whenever you're approaching a new record?
It's a lot of, I kind of tend to take the lead on the skeleton of the song and it gets fleshed out later, but it's a lot of just like sitting and playing the guitar and notating what came to be in Guitar Pro. Like I'm a huge advocate of Guitar Pro because it's like, I'm like the type of guy that's always like tweaking and tinkering, and I'm not the guy to just like, I'm like, oh, I think I should play this and record it and it's like done. Like, you know, sometimes I play a little sloppy and like, sometimes I'm like, well, you know, I played the 10th fret there, but maybe I should have played the 12th. And with Guitar Pro, I can go back and just be like, bloop, and change it. so that becomes really handy. So there's like a lot of tweaking on like the sort of bones of the song, like the rhythms and the leads and stuff are usually in there, and drums and bass and stuff. But then once it's like, it takes a form where it feels like rhythmically good throughout the whole thing, then we typically bring it in the practice room and try some stuff out. And sometimes the layout changes. We'll pass around some leads. Sometimes there's parts where like I only really wrote rhythms, and like, you know, James will just like want to do a lead and they're like, oh, there's room for it, you know, like let's put that in there too. And sometimes the lead changes, you know, sometimes we add harmonies, bring stuff up and down the octave. You know, drums usually change at that point too, because like I do play drums, so when I kind of like tab them out, like they sound, they should, you know, are theoretically human playable, but sometimes they just don't feel super organic, so you know, sometimes they have to get fleshed out into something that feels more comfortable. But yeah, I kind of lay the bones. There's a lot of just like playing it and seeing how it feels and seeing how you can refine it. And then I don't know, what are your thoughts, James, once it hits the practice space, how things evolve from there?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, you bring you bring stuff to the room and we'll all just kind of, you know, see where your head is at with like the musical image of the song, and kind of, you know, start by learning where you were coming from, and then as we jam them, things will naturally progress and we'll come up with certain ideas here or there, and they're presented, and if it makes sense, we do that. other than that, I'm more just like nagging you to like get things done and keep writing and keep pushing it out. Jay
Yeah.
writes music and we've been playing together so long that I could be blindfolded with my hands tied and just kind of know the song already. It's a really weird thing that happens, but we're just so in tune that it just works
That's
that
awesome.
way.
Yeah, and
That's
we
cool.
sort of developed our own language a little bit too, where like I don't know. I know it's probably like a weird thing to say. It might be mind blowing for some people who just are always like talking about note names. But I feel like when I started writing music, like I was in like three bands where I was in drop B, drop C, and then like drop D or something like that. So like after a while, like it became confusing to say like, oh, I'm gonna play like, you know, the D or whatever. It's like, well, I mean, that's open. That might be an easier one, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes it's like it's when you're constantly shifting the whole guitar, it becomes inefficient to talk about the note names. So like I use scale degrees quite a bit, and I'll say like, oh, like here it goes to the sixth chord, then to the four chord or whatever. And like James and I sort of have those discussions, and we can be like, oh, it's, you know, it's not a seven, it's a two or something. And we have sort of our own language built, and it's kind of funny too, because sometimes like when I jam with other people, like they're like throwing like chord, you know, stacks at me or something, and like, or when I try to say like, oh, I think, you know, I think the chord there actually is a four chord, people are like, what do you mean? You know, so like James and I have developed our own.
Or they'll play like the fourth fret or
Yeah,
something like
exactly.
that. Like we'll confuse it for like a fret number.
Yeah, for sure. So that, yeah, we definitely talk theory at each other and develop our own little language, I guess.
So this maybe like backpedals a little bit, but where did you guys sort of, you know, are you self-taught? Do you have any type of, you know, education as far as it comes to like music theory, playing the guitar, anything like that? Like, is it just something that you just decided, I'm gonna learn this, I'm gonna be awesome at it, and just put a lot of time into it? Or
yeah, well, I think there was a good community when we were both in high school, because we had a band director who was like just super ambitious. Like he got hired, I think, like the same year that I was a freshman, and he's like, you
he
know,
did,
I was
yeah.
in like concert band or whatever. And he was like, oh, like we're gonna get you guys so good that we're gonna go play at Disney World. And like we did that. And he was like, I'm gonna teach you guys all music theory, and we're gonna do drumline and marching band and color guard. And he was like, I don't know how he had enough time for what he did, but he was super hands-on, and he built this sort of awesome music community. James ended up getting involved in drumline, because you didn't play like anything like classical instruments, right? Like guitar was just your deal.
No, I was mostly in chorus for school. I come from a music family, but it wasn't until I was like 15, 16 where like somebody put a guitar in my hands and it was just like that mind explosion. So I never was in band. But then, yeah, our music director was really ambitious and really progressive. The drumline we did was like video game theme songs.
Mm-hmm.
And
Oh,
like
that's
not
cool.
like classical, like your standard thing you would see. So we did really unique stuff. He got us into like Dream Theater and, you know, kind of pushed us into progressive music even too. Really
Yeah,
cool.
and you took a theory course with him too, right?
Yeah, I took theory one with him.
Yeah, I think he like brought music theory to the music program, and that's part of the reason we were like getting super stoked about the bands, because like once somebody teaches you like what 5/4 is, when you hear a band that does it, you're like, ah, hey, that's, you know, I get that. And he was also just like, part of his music theory classes were just like playing a song that he thought was cool and explaining why it's cool. And I feel like, I don't know, like I've looked at music differently since that. And like sometimes it doesn't translate, because I did try to do the same stuff when like people, I'm giving someone a ride somewhere and I'm like playing him a song, but like, but do you see how he goes into 15, 16? And they're like, what are you talking about? You know?
Is this guy by chance Rick Beato?
I know, right? Yeah, that's why I love, yeah, I love that he's doing stuff like that, because like that's something that, you know, we used to do back in school. But yeah, formal training is, or what was the training? Like, I think like that was a big part of it, is there was like a community, and like some of our early band members and the bands that we formed, like we're all like in that music program, and some of us took theory. James got involved, he played in drumline and theory. So we kind of started there. I did go to school for music business and iron out some of the other, like, you know, theory and ear training and, you know, sight singing and stuff like that. And I think that definitely helped, like at least with the biggest thing was just like the ear training. Like it's one thing to know the rules of what chords you're supposed to go to or not, but it's nice to like hear, like I can hear like a band like BT Bam or Proc to Zero and say like, oh, okay, they're doing this chord progression. That's really cool. Yeah, so that helped a little bit too.
That's just really impresses me, the ability that people can like just hear something and be like, all right, I know exactly what chords were played and what notes, and can just like hear it and then immediately translate it to guitar and play it without like needing to look at tabs or anything. It's
yeah,
it's such an impressive skill.
We had like one music class, and it was, and we did play guitar for like a hot second, and our teacher was terrible. And he would like, you know, some kids in that class played a little bit of guitar. Myself, I just sort of discovered playing guitar. I wasn't good by any means. I'm still not great by any means, but you know, sometimes we would like tune the guitars to whatever we wanted to tune to while we're playing, and like, you know, we'll drop it to drop D. It's eighth grade. I mean, drop D was like this amazing revelation. And, and if we drop tuned the guitars, he would like we wouldn't be allowed to, like, it got to a point where he was like, well, I'm going to start like charging you for doing this because now I have to sit, take time after class to retune all these guitars. And like, he was just a horrible teacher. I didn't learn charging shit in that class.
Didn't learn to move the string up a whole step.
Right. Right. That's, I mean, just goes to show how terrible he was at really any, was he even like qualified to be a music teacher? Like, I don't know, but
I think if it's the same guy, I think I had him, cause I actually played drums for like 2 years and I was no good. So I was like third chair and there were only four of us. And
you're not last.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't the worst, but I was not great by any means. And I just like did not like his teaching style. So whenever we would like have our individual lessons for like the drum team, they would like, we'd miss a class and have to go to it. And I would just be like, nah, I'm going to stay here in science class instead. And then they would like send a recon mission to come and get me and be like, Matt, it's time for your drum lesson. Like, damn it.
You know, it's bad when you're choosing like science class over like playing music. Like, that's, you know, it's bad.
Yeah. I was, always, he was like always very like stern and stuff. And I just was like, I'd rather not get yelled at today. Instead, I could just sit here and stare at a whiteboard, and this is much better.
Yeah, I had just moved to like that school, so that was like my first experience.
Really. I thought you meant you just moved away. So you
didn't have to take the class. Yeah, I should have.
Like, that's one solution.
All right, off the rails. Let's get back on track here. Sorry about that. let's talk a little bit about the first full length record, which is one of my favorite records, and I guess the first thing I kind of want to talk about is you had a feature on that record from Angel Vivaldi. What was it like working with him? How did that sort of transpire? What made you want to work with him? You know, just give us the scoop on that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, that guy is so nice. Like, we worked with him. We opened a couple of shows for him in like New Jersey and in Philadelphia, I think. And every time like he's around, he's just like so like positive, and his fans love him. I can't say enough good things. But yeah, I don't. I'm trying to remember. Like, I feel like we had a spot for a guest solo, because I think that song used to have like a really wacky bass part. But like at the time, we were just backtracking the bass, so it didn't make sense to have like this crazy bass part from a bassist that didn't exist. So we sort of like adapted that section and left it just kind of like open and chordy. And then I think we. Like the idea of doing like a guest solo of some sort would be cool, especially since it's like becoming really popular now in the instrumental space. Like, there's tons of collaborations to keep things interesting, and I love that. So I think we had a spot for it, and then like next thing you know, Angel Vivaldi was touring through Rochester, and we got the opening spot, and we're like, you know, maybe like let's try to have a really good show, and then like afterwards, if it feels like we didn't suck, we'll ask him if he wants to be on a record. And which makes for a fun story too, because like that particular day we had played like I think the night before somewhere else, and so for some reason, like at that time we were just playing with like powered PA heads as our guitar amps, and like we would just use like a pod and like run through that. We do amps now, but we played the night before, and when like 30 minutes before we're supposed to play the show, we realized that the powered PA heads didn't make it there. So we're like, oh, we don't have guitar cabs now, and we have to try to not suck because we're opening for Angel Vivaldi. And we ended up going DI, and it was actually fine. We had a pretty good show. But yeah, then like I just, you know, asked him if he'd be interested in collaborating, and he was, and he does that sort of thing. Like, he does guest solos on other people's music and stuff here and there, so he was down for it. And wrote us a great solo, and then after that a couple times we opened for him in different places as well.
That's awesome. So I guess the other thing about that record is I've already talked about it, but that song Immortalized being sort of my favorite record or my favorite song on the record. There's a little sort of surprise comes out of nowhere vocal section there at the end. What was the inspiration for throwing that in? Was it just kind of like, hey, let's do something different. Let's throw everybody off. Where did that come from?
Good question. I feel like back when we were playing Event Horizon a lot, James, like maybe like early on when we played the whole thing, there was sometimes when it was just like everything was so loud at the venue, like when we played like the big breakdown at the end of that song, like I could have sworn I heard like vocals over it. I'm like, oh, it'd be really cool if there was vocals there. And like that was in the back of my head. And also like playing a bunch of more shows after that as we, you know, started getting more busy. Like I realized sometimes like you'll have good shows where people love it, but like at best people in the crowd will just kind of be like, you know, because they're not like waving their arms and singing along because there's nothing to sing along to. So I guess I had this idea of like, it'd be cool for like, you know, the biggest part of this whole record, you know, and that long song at the end of the record to have like a vocal part that people could sing along to. And I think like, I just started thinking of what that would sound like. And I was, if for anyone that knows it, I was kind of inspired by, I think the song is Let Yourself Be Huge by Cloud Kicker. There's like, and same thing, they're mostly instrumental. There was like, you know, a vocal effect that comes in there and it's just, it hits so good. And I think like when I imagine like a Sneak Attack vocal part that comes out of nowhere at a big moment, like I guess, you know, I was kind of inspired by that sound. So that was a little bit to, you know, to credit for the inspiration there. And we just put it in. It's simple.
And it's cool. Sure. It's cool how it leads into that just absolutely ripping guitar part there at the end of that song too. That song's freaking awesome. But
can you hear the White Walls influence at the end?
I do actually.
It's pretty.
Which is really awesome. So on that record too, you have a song called Reinventions, which actually, like looking at Spotify numbers, took off. What was that like to sort of see something that you made just explode like that? And also, what's your favorite track on this record? Like, what's the one that you were like the most excited to write, most excited to play live? Like,
Most exciting to write was probably Immortalized, but it is like kind of tricky and like awkward to play live. So like, that one's not the most fun, but it's like super awesome when we get to do it, especially at the end. Favorite to play? I mean, like we always like probably Collide and Construct a Prototype. I think I've come to appreciate Collide more. I think.
Yeah.
Reinvention.
Collide's definitely my favorite.
Yeah, I was gonna say I knew it was. Yeah, but I didn't want to. But yeah, Reinventions, I think, like, is definitely like a highlight on the album. And that's the one that I guess like kind of stuck. But that one to me is like the most annoying to play live. So I'm always so like conflicted. Like when we were playing shows, like when we're a lot of, you know, people didn't really know us yet. It's like, should we do something that's like maybe easier to pull off live or whatever? But it's fun to play, you know. And that's a great song. But.
Yeah, I mean that's probably honestly that's how I discovered you guys. Is I guess shout out to Spotify. Yeah. You know,
oh, for real. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You know, you listen to a playlist or a record or something, and then afterwards they just start shuffling songs that they think you might like based on that playlist or record. And Reinventions was what popped up, and that's what led me to sort of explore that record in its entirety. And actually when I heard that record, like I said, that song, that's when I was sort of just starting to make like album of the year lists, so I immediately put that on my radar to like listen to in its entirety, and I'm really glad that I did because that record's great. Definitely everybody who's listening to this, Create Effect Repeat, listen to that record, it's fantastic. But I guess let's switch gears to, you guys got some new things on the horizon. You got two new singles out, and a new album that's dropping on the 16th of this month. What was the inspiration behind that? Do you think it's a progression from sort of Create Effect Repeat? You do anything different, you know, anything you want to tell us about that record?
Yeah, I mean, I think like Movement was an experiment, the first EP, and then Create Effect Repeat kind of like solidified like what we're about and what we can sound like. So, I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel with it per se. I think it's just like, you know, we know what our sound is now, and we like want another great full length experience. So like we kind of worked to develop that over time. And the writing process was slow. Like it wasn't like we were like forcing anything. It's just like kind of whenever a good idea popped up, like then we'd add on to the song. And then we had 2, 3, 4, 5 songs down, and we kind of started to create an order. And we made, it's a killer record. We put a little bit more into production this time, and we're working with Steve Sopchak, who's an amazing mixing engineer. So I think like it's another great full length record experience that's, you know, produced a little bit better. It sounds a little bit nicer on the ears, and it's killer. Yeah. I mean, there's some different things we do, some different experiments that we do. There's like, I guess it's not a secret because we announced a video for it a while ago, but we had like a fan collaboration thing where people could send in their own singing of like this little melody that's at the end of the record. And we put them in the song, you know, like to do sort of like a fan collaboration thing. We try to, you know, get a bunch of other different interesting things happening. We got another guest solo from Adam Bentley of Arch Echo, who, and his solo is so sick. Like, that was such a sweet addition to that song. Thanks Adam for doing that. Yeah, I mean, we have another killer finale song that's, you know, close to 11 minutes long, and it's super epic and draws the album to the close just the way we like. So yeah,
that's honestly, I felt like this, and we got to listen to it thanks to you guys, we appreciate that. I really feel like this record does sort of flow very similar to like Create Effect Repeat, in the sense of like, you know, like you said, you're not reinventing the wheel. Your sound is, you know, your sound, you do it well. But just the way that, like, you know, it progresses through, and then like you said, the epic ending, you know, you guys kind of have a structure down too, it sounds like, and it does work for sure. And again, I find myself favoring the really long tracks that you guys put out. This one's no exception. So
yeah. A lot of the heart and soul of the record ends up pouring into those finale tracks. And this layout's a little bit different in terms of structure, like, because both the first two records, like the last song was the long one. This one, it's like the second to last song, and there's sort of like an outro. They like, you know, it's kind of like a different ending, you know, another ending, like, I don't know, maybe an alternate ending, even if we're making metaphors, but it's just laid out a little bit different, where like the biggest part doesn't necessarily have to be the very end, although it's, you know, it's close to the end. There's like the big ending, and there's a sort of the relaxing, you know, soothing ending on this record.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. It's kind of like pick your own ending, you know. It's I like the alternate ending there. That's sweet. Yeah. I do feel like, you know, it's that longer song sort of puts like a bow on the record, and then there's just sort of like that outro towards the end that, you know, it's like a palate cleanser almost.
And we talked a little bit about like surprising people with something they didn't expect, and Create Effect Repeat, when those vocals come in, it's almost like the same thing. Like, at this point you expect like a long finale song from Divin X, and like when the new finale song is called Olika, when that ends, you're like, oh cool, they did the finale. Then there's like another song, you're like, oh, you know. So it just plays with like you know, expectations and the formula a little bit.
Yeah, and there are other surprises on this record as well. Obviously I'm not going to mention them, I want people to discover that for themselves, but it's a great record. I genuinely think it's going to be in my top 10 by the end of the year. Looking forward to its official release. What was it like working with Adam from Arch Echo? So we kind of touched on it a little bit, but how did that come about? And I, like you said, I mean, his part in that's, it's pretty sweet. It brings the song together, I feel like. And I just want to hear a little bit more about that experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we thought it'd be fun to work with Angel Vivaldi. Then after doing that, we're like, oh man, that was actually like a really good like gateway to like new listeners, because like some of his fan base would like find Divin X and be like, what the heck is this? And they're like, oh, it's kind of cool too, you know. So going into this record, I'm like, why don't we do that more? Let's get even more guest solos. And I think I'm like, we should do 2 or 3, and we settled on 2. But then like, you know, making the record just got complicated. Like, we had to postpone studio time twice because of like, the first time I thought I had COVID, and the second time I did have COVID, and it was just all sorts of hiccups in the process. So like, we were looking for what could be 2 possible guest solos, and on one song we decided to just plug that ourselves, and me and James did another like trade-off solo thing like we do in Reinventions. And I don't know about you, James, but I kind of like the song more now, because like those parts are so fun and they kind of like fill the space, and it's our voices now. And then the other one, we still had one spot where like it'd be cool to get one guest solo, just to like, and when you show that you've like worked with someone who's like in the scene, it sort of like solidifies yourself as like in that sort of, you know, instrumental progressive metal space. So like, we wanted to work with someone else, and, you know, especially because if somebody comes across it, it's like, we want, in if they see someone who they're used to, it's like, oh, okay, like this band is like firmly in that progressive metal and instrumental zeitgeist or whatever. So we were looking, and I was like trying to figure out who would be available, and I was messaging some people, but then I saw on Instagram, I followed Adam, and he, there's like a story. It was just like, oh, I just finished up a guest solo. This is so fun. And then like, that was his story. So I replied to him like, you want to do another? And he's like, yeah, sure. And that's, that, that was pretty much, there was a lot of lead up, but there wasn't much more to the story than that. I just like saw one of his stories where he did a, he posted like a clip of it and it sounded sweet. And I'm just like, we're in the market for a guest solo. And if you want to be on, you know, this would be great. You're instrumental prog. So are we, like, and he was down. So yeah, thanks for doing that.
Damn. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And yeah, like you said, it does give you a little bit more exposure, kind of like share audiences in a way, for people who may not have heard of you guys who are Art Deco fans. That sort of like opens the door, like you said. And for lack of a better, you know, word, gives you like relevant, not relevance, but like people look at it and say, oh, well, they're in this space, you know, like
it's like street cred.
Exactly. Street cred. Yeah. That's the good one. That's a good way to put it. But yeah. I honestly think that once people do discover you, they should see that you guys can stand on your own. You don't need that type of thing. So I'm hopeful for you guys that, you know, and with this record as well, that this is sort of like, you know, the beginning to, do you guys have any other, any plans for like a tour or anything like that? Any, you know, anything like that, or shows in the near future, whether shows, for this record, for this record, or just in general?
I think so. I think it's like our timeline's moving a little bit slower just because we're spread out now. I recently moved to Florida for a career opportunity outside of music. And right now the focus is just like, we worked hard on this record for like, 3-4 years or something. Like if you go back to like when the first song was written, it's been a long time. So right now the focus is on just like getting it out and trying to promote it well enough for like people to hear it, which is, it's hard nowadays because it's so competitive and everything gets lost in the noise. But once it's out and like, you know, we'll probably do some follow-up media for it, then we'll kind of be shifting gears to figure out like what we can do performance wise. And we have a show booked in October, I believe. And we'll probably do some one-offs. It'd be nice to do like a CD release show. And maybe like down the road, we'll do like a, you know, like a week tour or something to get our feet wet with touring and stuff. But there'll be shows. But yeah, right now we're just kind of more focused on like getting, you know, doing the record justice. And we changed our lineup recently too. So we might actually follow it up with like a single where we kind of like, you know, record with a new lineup and stuff, you know, just for the, a fun experiment to do.
For the show that you you said in October that you had planned, is that since you moved to Florida, is it there or is it plan for New York, which is where you're both from, right?
You can tag in on this one, James. I think he set it up more, so you have more of the details.
Yeah, it's going to be in New York. The show is going to actually be in Jay and I's original hometown.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Which is it's fun to acknowledge that too, because like we grew up in Waterloo, but I've been living in Rochester for a while, and like that's the bigger city. So I mean, that's where you go to play in that area. Like, you know, there's not as many opportunities in Waterloo. So we played mostly in Rochester, but yeah, Rick Horton, who's a promoter that we've worked with a few times, he did like Finger Lakes Metal Fest, and he's like so good to bands, and he loves music. Like he's such like a great force behind like making a music and metal scene come together. He's doing a show in Waterloo, and now that you mention it, it's in back in our old stomping ground. So
I have never heard of Finger Lakes Metal Fest, but that is definitely something I'm interested in.
Yeah, it's fun. I think they might have like discontinued it because they had a problem with the venue or something.
Unfortunately, I don't know if it's still going on, but... is a
oh man, I was gonna say, I'm gonna have to make out a vacation plan.
Rick has done his best to try to continue metal events happening in the Finger Lakes, which is how we're still playing shows in our hometown because it's pretty country out here.
that's only about like 4.5 hours away from us, so I mean we've been to that area several times, never for a show. Usually if I'm going to a show in New York, I'm actually in like New York City, but that's closer and more appealing, so I would rather go to a show in like the Finger Lakes area.
There you go.
So sweet. Yeah, so you guys will have to send us the details on that show, but and then like as far as like the date and time and all that stuff, because you know, depending, you know, we might be interested. But but yeah, what's, I guess speaking on shows, what's your favorite show you've ever played?
I think James and I were just talking about this, like On paper, like one of the biggest was when we won Headbang for the Highway, was put which was put it was like a battle of the bands put on by Sumerian Records, and we got to open for Summer Slaughter Tour, which is like when we played probably one of our biggest shows, and for, before the biggest names like Born of Osiris was there, Veil of Maya was there, Arch Enemy, I think After the Burial was supposed to play, but they couldn't because of all the stuff going on with that the guitarist there. So yeah, that was a good show for us, and that, by the way, is like the perfect example of like we were the first band, and I feel like the people managing the tour didn't really care about the local band very much. So like there was no lights, it was like fluorescent, just like brightly lit, and people were just kind of shuffling in, and they're all just kind of like, who is this band? And standing really still, and like I thought that maybe we didn't do particularly well, but then afterwards, like so many people were like talking to us at the merch table afterwards and stuff. So I think it went over well, but it was just like so weird to play like, you know, super bright lights, just like no like atmosphere whatsoever. So yeah, I mean that was a good one in terms of like, you know, get exposure and like some cool names that we played with and stuff. But James and I, way back towards the beginning, we played Rage Fest 2013, like direct support before Ice Nine Kills. And it was just
Oh,
like
cool.
a, yeah, there was a promoter that was working hard to make like a really cool scene around Water Street Music Hall, and that was like one of the pinnacles, I think, of like that scene. Like he did a Rage Fest every year, and that was like one of the better ones. We also just like got a Adrian from, I think it was before the Foundation at the time. He's in Destroy Create now. He's the vocalist. He came up and did vocals for us for a cover of Under Oath In Regards to Myself, and it was like
That's
one of the
pretty
most
cool.
epic things we've ever experienced. And like maybe we're biased because usually there's not, you know, vocals like making everything epic when we play, but like it was just such a powerful song that everyone was like raging to. Like, I mean,
I
I'm
want to
not
add
even.
in too that was what was really cool about this one show specifically was that we had saved that song, that cover, to be the last song. And right before we were going to play it, the sound guys were trying to tell us we were done and we had to get off stage for Ice Nine Kills. We were past time. But the members of Ice Nine actually came out and told us to keep going. And that was just like a really cool thing.
Oh,
Oh,
that's
yeah.
very
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, because the show was just, it seemed like it was going pretty well before that too. And like, we're just like, yeah, we're going to cover this Under Oath song. And everyone's like, yeah. And then like, the song guy's like, no, you can't. And like, but yeah, one of the guys came out and he's just like, it's fine, you know, let him do the thing. And in hindsight, you know, I don't know what happened. Like, maybe they were running behind because I don't think our set was too long. You know, in hindsight, like, you know, we've played more gigs where it's like important to stay in your time slot. So I don't know if we maybe messed up a little bit or something, but. Yeah, it was so cool because it was just like everyone was vibing so hard and everyone was like stoked to hear us play that last song. And then, you know, of course, Ice Nine Kills came and played that after that and slapped as usual. So
That's cool that
that's
they were
awesome.
like, yeah, let them play. They weren't like, no, get off. Because, you know, sometimes we have, in a previous episode, we've talked about Polyphia and the way they can be kind of diva-ish. And
Yeah.
that they
Some
like
bands
take.
are. No.
Yeah. So it's cool to when you hear bands do that, like, no, let them play. Like they're getting the crowd hyped and, you know, we want to hear what they have to play. So it's cool they like gave you the opportunity and stuff. That's got to feel good.
Yeah,
Thank you, Pedro.
one of the other bands we interviewed, Nefel, they were opening for Polyphia, and Polyphia showed up late, and you know, Nefel had completely set up and everything, and they let them play one song and then made them tear down.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Jeez.
which is just crazy. But and Covet was on the bill as
How was
well,
that?
and they were trying to like. They were like, hey, no, they can have some of our time. Like they set everything up just to play one song, just to tear down. Like that's terrible.
That's insane.
But the band manager for Polyphia wouldn't let that happen. So it was yeah. So it's good to see that not everybody's like that, is basically
Yeah,
kind of where I'm at with that.
absolutely.
You know, and I mean, they didn't need the time as much as, you know, newer bands, unknown bands who, you know, playing in front of a crowd that honestly really fit for them, for their sound. I mean, they were an instrumental band playing on a bill with Covet, Polyphia, and Jason Richardson. And to see like them kind of get shafted like that was kind of discouraging. I was actually at that show. It was sad to see that kind of all go down. But
Yeah, we opened for Jason Richardson once, and I got the sense that I don't know if it was like part of his tour management or something too, but like I got the sense that those guys are like really intense. Like, yeah, like they're the ones to not let a minute, you know, a set go a minute over or something. So
They just
I
cut your
don't
sound as soon as the
know.
time hits. It's just
Right.
turn the
Yeah.
lights off, get off.
The opposite happened one time. We were playing, we were opening for like Era, in the Mainstream Armory basement, and like the sound guy was like setting stuff up, and then he just kind of like disappeared. I don't know if he was like doing something, and then like the other guy, like the monitor guy, was like, "You guys, the time's already started. Just so you know, you guys gotta go." And this, I don't know, we were kind of like new at that point, so we're like, "Oh, okay, count it off, let's go." And we start playing, and we find out that the sound guy wasn't back at the booth yet, and he's like hauling ass to get to the booth to turn us on. So like, that was one situation where the opposite happened. We actually like. Instead of like cutting out the song, the sound at the end, it was like we were playing
Just
before the
cut at the
sound was even
beginning.
there. Like,
Jeez, that's crazy. Well, I mean, we covered a good bit here. Is there anything else you guys would like to announce? Obviously, the new record coming out on the 16th. Is there anything else that you guys would like to cover to present to our audience or anything like that before we sign off?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. Like, we're just super stoked on the record and worked really hard on it. It's been like a long time coming. We've had the blood, sweat, and tears, as they say. So, yeah, I mean, if anyone listening is is up for an adventure, like put on the album, listen to it front to back. Like, it's a cool experience. And if you're driving or something, like that's what our music is made for. It's not like, oh, listen to us for 3 minutes and go do something else. Like, it's a cool experience. So, yeah, if
I
anyone's
think
listening,
yeah, I
like, we
think
recommend spend.
we really work hard to put little Easter eggs and secrets in that, only people that take the time to really absorb the whole piece and are gonna get the chance to hear. So definitely.
Damn, you saying that now, I'm like, shit, I gotta go listen to it again.
That
Yeah,
would be our next records marketing campaign is like, if you hear the sound of this, then let us know and tell us where, and you'll win something. And there's like nothing actually there. People are just listening really hard to find,
just sit back and watch the play count rise. Like,
extreme
suckers.
numbers. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I got a trip here. I'm leaving on Friday, so that'll definitely be on
Awesome.
the radio as I'm driving down. Looking forward to that.
Cool.
But yeah, I guess we'll wrap up there. Thank you guys so much for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it. Really looking forward to the new record. And hopefully everybody else is as well. And yep, comes out on the 16th. And yeah, thank you guys so much again, and we'll
Yeah, thanks, guys.
catch everybody on the next one, and yeah, we'll see
Yeah, and thanks for having us.
For
We're
having us.
historically not great at PR and promoting ourselves, so any chance to come on and talk about stuff we care about a lot means a lot to us, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
we're
And
happy to have you.
we'll be sure to share everything we can on our story and stuff. When the r new record drops, we'll have everything shared out, and so anybody listening to this, keep an eye on our page for all the information, everything related to Divinex and their new album. And thank you guys again.